You can turn down your Bibles to James chapter 1. James chapter 1. We're looking at verses 19 through 21 this morning. I do have a few announcements that I wanted to make. First off, two announcements in the bulletin. One is the youth concert coming up on Tuesday night, June 5th, Independent Perez from Memphis. Well, their youth choir will be here to sing, put on a concert. We need we need people from here to host their youth or even their chaperones for just one night. It's no dinner. All you have to do is give them, you know, bran flakes for breakfast. Okay, I'll buy the bran flakes, $2. Okay, but here's the honest truth: we need about 7 more homes, and if we cannot get the, if we don't get the volunteers to host, I don't know how we can do this concert. So if you could honestly pray about that and sign up, please sign up or talk to me. But I prefer you sign up because I will forget. So just sign up on the sheet. Also, Allie's having a baby. That's the second announcement. She's so mad at me right now. You can't storm out because it'd be awkward for everybody. But there will be a baby shower for Allie on next Sunday, May 20th at Gay Vandenhoek's house. Address is in the bulletin. If you could sign up, there's a sign-up sheet for food. So you can sign up out there for food. There's also a list, I believe, of what is already being brought. Is that correct? Okay, that is correct. So that's exciting time for Allie and Brenton. And baby Wade. That's a cool name, Wade. Love that name. Jeremy would have been better, but that's okay. That's okay. So, and finally, the Walkers are moving. Don't get too excited. They're staying in town. But the Walkers are moving, and they need our help on Friday. Friday at 4 o'clock, we're going to meet at the Walker house. And if you don't know where they live, that's okay. We will get you directions. Just talk to me or talk to Stephen. Stephen, if you wave your hand. There you go. Talk to us, or you can talk to the Walker family as well. It is their house. But we do need help. Let's get them moved into their new home. That's exciting. So, with that being said, and a lot of announcements, but less than...
You're always asking us to go charismatic, man. Please go charismatic for him.
I don't know, but I guess...
If you've never been here, and lots of you have not, when the choir comes, that's coming June 5th, I would just say, if you want a blessing, invite some of these kids into your house or the chaperones. It's a wonderful experience. Some of them come back, depending on how young they are, come back the next time the choir comes. And if you can have just a tiny space on the floor or whatever, they are very flexible, but they are a delight. So I just would encourage you to think about that.
All right. Thank you.
Jeremy.
Do you want to say anything about that Sunday school?
Yes, I do.
Thank you.
Carl, next time I'll give you more announcements. All right. I was going to say we beat the record of announcements of time, but we're not. We're going longer. Yes, next Sunday, Kyle will be doing a special Sunday school on a lot of things, but all pertaining to disabilities ministry. So please come. And her and Karina will be going to camp this this summer, Johnny and Friends. So come hear about that next week, 9 o'clock a.m. For Sunday school. So, anyone else want to go charismatic? Charlie, no. Okay. Charlie's on the same page as me. Let's go. James chapter 1, verse 19 through 21. Let's now listen to God's word. Know this, my beloved brothers, let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger. For the anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God. Therefore, put away all filthiness and rampant wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. And thank you that your word is absolute truth. And thank you that your word is profitable for us in so many ways. And Father, we pray now as we look at James 1, 19 through 21, that you will bless this time. We pray your spirit to work in our hearts as well as our minds. If we are here and we know Jesus as our Lord and Savior, grow us. Grow us in our faith. Encourage us. Encourage us in our sanctification. And Father, if we are here and we are lost, we do not know Jesus, bring us to faith and repentance. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So we've been looking at this letter, and James has been dealing with basically the sovereignty of God and also trials and tragedies and how we handle that. But now if we notice, coming to verse 13, he kind of changes direction a little bit. He changes, and look at verse 19, and you'll see why. What does he do? Verse 19, he says this, "Know this, my beloved brothers, let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger." So here now, James begins giving some, he's already given practical pastoral advice, obviously, but here he's giving more specific pastoral advice to his brothers and sisters in Christ. And what's the first piece of pastoral advice about Christian living that he's giving here? Be quick to hear. Be quick to hear. In other words, listen to each other. Listen to one another. Hear each other. Let us be quick to hear one another when we are talking. Let us be quick to hear when others are pouring out their hearts, their hardships. Let us be quick to hear. And that is exactly the opposite of what we are prone to do, is it not? We are quick to speak. We are quick to respond to someone. We are quick to give our opinion. We are quick to defend ourselves. We are quick to accuse someone. We are quick to slander. We are not quick to hear. I'm in this Facebook page for PCA teaching elders and ruling elders, but I'm not going to tell my ruling elders that. They're not even on Facebook anyway. So, but one thing that was, they give out lots of advice, and it's a really encouraging thing most of the time. And one of the things was give a piece of advice that you remember from seminary, and I did not participate, but got me to thinking. And there's three things, really, and I won't share the other two, but one thing that Bebo Elkin, a great Southern man, a great ruling elder in our denomination, he's not given the due he deserves, but he said in his Southern, think Bill Clinton with a little more accent, but in his Southern way, he said, and I'll say the friendly way, be quiet. Be quiet. And that's what James is saying. Be quiet and listen. Be quick to hear. Be quick to hear. What a blessing it is to be a listener. What a blessing it is to be a hearer, to sit with someone who is hurting and listen to their problem, to hear them cry out to you. What a blessing that is. And it's hard, of course, but what a blessing that is for us as followers of Christ to do for one another. Be quick to hear. And if we think about it from another angle, how many of our fights, our quarrels, our disagreements happen because we are not quick to hear? How many times do we get in a fight with our spouse because we don't listen? How many times do we get a fight with our parents? Well, of course, kids would never get in a fight with their parents. What am I talking about here? What about our in-laws, whether it's mother-in-law, father-in-law, daughter-in-law, son-in-law? Because we do not listen. We are not quick to hear. We are quick to speak. And why are we quick to speak? Why are we? Why do we tend to be that way? And I'm not saying for one moment that none of us here listen to each other, okay? And I note the irony that it is that I'm speaking to you without stop talking about being quick to hear. I get that. But why? Why are we quick to speak and slow to listen? Because we love to talk. And why do we love to talk? Because we love ourselves. This is all about self-worship, isn't it? We want to be the center of attention. We want to give our advice. We want to give our opinion. We want to talk, 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 and not be quick to hear. Because we love ourselves. It's self-worship, self-idolatry. And here James is saying no to that. No, be quick to hear one another. Be quick to listen to one another. And what he's doing, it's nothing, this isn't revolutionary on the part of James. He's just basically going back to the Old Testament in Proverbs 18:13. If one gives an answer before he hears, it is his folly and shame. Be quick to hear one another. But he doesn't stop there, right? He then adds on. Basically, I've already talked about it a little bit. Be quick to hear and slow to speak. Be slow to speak. Don't instantly jump in. Right? Don't instantly jump in and speak. When we are quick to speak, we aren't thinking things through, right? What's the best way to avoid foot and mouth disease? Slow to speak, quick to hear. And when we are quick to speak and not slow to speak, we're not praying about what we're going to say. We're not even thinking about what we're going to say. And how much harm comes from that? How much harm comes from our words when we just quickly react? Or how much bad counsel can we give when we are just quickly, when we are quick to speak and not quick to hear? Let us be quick to hear and slow to speak. And then he adds on, here we go. If I haven't stepped on toes, or if James hasn't stepped on toes, he will hear, right? Slow to anger. Slow to anger. Let us be slow to anger. Why? I don't have to guess. I can tell you. Verse 20. Look at verse 20. For the anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God. When we get angry, it does not produce holiness. When we get angry, it does not produce righteousness. When we get angry, we sin. And we are not to sin. We are not to be unrighteous or unholy. We are to be, 1 Peter 1:16, be holy, because I, God, am holy. So let us be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. When the ref messes up a call on our kids, for our kids' team, slow to become angry, right? When Donald Trump says something or does something that we do not like, or in the past, Barack Obama, across party lines, let us be slow to anger. Let us be slow to anger. When the pastor doesn't fulfill your expectations, be slow to anger. And when you don't meet my expectations, not that you ever would, but slow to anger. Anger is not righteous. Anger is not, or anger is sinful. But then you'll say what? There is righteous anger. There is righteous anger, Pastor Jeremy. Yes, there is. Matthew 21, 12 through 13. You can turn there if you want, but or I'll just read it. Matthew 21, 12 through 13. We see righteous anger here, do we not? Jesus entered the temple and drove out all who sold and brought in the bought in the temple. And he overturned the tables of the money changers and the seats of those who sold pigeons. And he said to them, it is written, my house shall be called a house of prayer, but you make it a den of robbers. Now, when we flip over tables, that's anger. Let's not sugarcoat this. There is anger here. But why is there anger? Why is Jesus upset? Because the church, let's just use modern jargon, right? The temple then, the church, was being turned into a mall. It was being turned into a Walmart or a farmer's market, a flea market, whatever you want to say. Money was being exchanged. So people, and it hindered people from worshiping. There were honest people there worshiping. There was honest people there that wanted to worship, but they were being hindered, if not outright just stopped, from worshiping because of money. And Jesus would have none of that. Why would he have none of that? Why was he so upset? Why was he angry? Because God's name was being defaced, was being slandered. He was not being glorified there. There's righteous anger for you. When God is not being glorified, when God's name is not being magnified, or praised, exalted, then there is anger. There is righteous anger for his glory. There is not righteous anger because we're playing a song that we do not like. There is not righteous anger because the session made a decision that you do not agree with. There is not righteous anger and being just inconvenienced through a church function or church thing. And there's not righteous anger because we're not getting our way in the church. That's not what happened here. So bottom line, let us be slow to anger because we ain't got the righteous anger one. We got the sinful anger one. Let us be slow to anger. And again, here, James is not being new, or he's not being unique, I guess we could say. Paul says this in Ephesians 4. Paul deals a lot with anger. Ephesians 4. 31 through 32, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another as God in Christ forgave you. Colossians 3:8. We'll come back to Colossians 3 later. But now you must put them all away: anger, wrath, malice, slander, and obscene talk from your mouth. But now going to the Old Testament, here we have Psalm 37:8. Refrain from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not yourself, it tends only to evil. And then Proverbs 22:24, make no friendship with a man given to anger, nor go with a wrathful man. Let us be slow to anger. Let us be slow to anger. Now look at verse 21. Therefore, put away all filthiness and rampant wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. Again, if we're honest, we'll say here together that we struggle in these areas, right? We struggle with being quick to hear. We struggle with being slow to talk, and we struggle with being slow to anger. Of course, we got to be honest first, and of course, secondly, we all struggle with this in different variations, right? In different degrees. But we all struggle with this. And then James continues, and he says, since we all struggle with this, essentially, therefore, since we all are slow to anger, all quick to anger, quick to speak, and we don't like to listen, therefore what? Put away, get rid of the filthiness within you. Put away, get rid of the rampant. Do you notice that word? Rampant wickedness. That is our heart. Get rid of that. And again, he's writing to Christians. He's writing to believers in Christ, not non-believers, to believers. And he's saying this, essentially, you're saved, you're in Christ, you're forgiven, get rid of the rampant wickedness. Get rid of your sinfulness. Get rid of it. He's telling the church to fight their sin. This is called sanctification, right? Be holy, for God is holy. Sanctification. Get rid of it. And notice here, it's not like he's making this an option, right? You're a Christian. You're a follower of Christ. You're forgiven by God's grace. You're saved. Fight your sin. Fight your rampant wickedness that is in your heart. And then when we throw in Paul, the writings of Paul, especially Colossians 3, I've already cited one verse, but Colossians 3 is a great example, because that's what Paul says. Paul says, get rid of your sinfulness, you know, kill your evilness. But then what does he say? Not just kill, not just fight, but what? Clothe yourselves. Colossians 3, clothe yourselves with righteousness. Clothe yourselves with the fruit of the Spirit. Take off sin, take off the rampant wickedness, put on righteousness. That's what we are to do as a believer in Christ. It's not an option. That's what we do. We fight our sin. We clothe ourselves with righteousness. Now, that doesn't mean we won't struggle, right? That doesn't mean we won't sin. Of course we will. And it doesn't mean we won't struggle with the same sin perhaps our entire life. Yes, we could. And it doesn't mean that we won't, by God's grace, conquer one sin only to be attacked by another type of sin and struggle with another type of sin. But what James is saying is live your life fighting your sin. Live your life getting rid of the rampant wickedness, and live your life clothing yourselves. When I was in high school, we played a lot of football. We played... And if you know me, well, y'all know me pretty well. You know I'm pretty safe. And so it's funny thinking back to the days where I actually played football. We played tackle hardcore football with no pads. And we did this through college until people just started getting too hurt. And I remember one time it was winter, but it was warming up. So we must have been getting closer to spring. And it just rained. And a bunch of my buddies and I decided to go play football in the local park. And we must have known how muddy it was going to be because we brought a change of clothes. And so we played this great hardcore football game. No one got hurt, but we were just covered in mud. It was so bad. how much mud we had on and how much the field was destroyed, that the police actually came and had to talk to my dad. And my dad had to not bail me out. That was really bad wording. Not bail me out. But talk to the park people and say, you know, put a sign up. And because of that, the sign is still there to this day. No football in the rain. But we were covered in filth. And so after the game, we got out and off the field, we got out of, you know, popped open the trunks and we took off the muddy clothes and we put on the clean clothes. And how good that felt, right? We were drenched in mud and now all of a sudden we had new clothes on. And that's sanctification. In Christ, we get to take off the muddy clothes of our sin. We get to take them off by God's grace. We can take off the muddy, sinful clothes that we wear and put on new clothes. The clothes of righteousness. Isn't that beautiful? We don't have to wear the stinky, dirty clothes. We don't have to. That's what James is talking about here. Get rid of the rampant wickedness. And what else? He moves on, though. What else does he say? Take off, fight, get rid of. But what? And implant yourself. Or excuse me, we are to receive what? With meekness, the implanted word. We are to receive not just new clothes, right? But with meekness, the implanted word. We are to take the word of God and implant it where? In our minds? No, not just our minds, but in our hearts with meekness. Notice the word meekness there. We are to take the word of God with meekness, within humility, and implant it in our heart. Biblical scholar Dan Duryani says this about this meekness idea. To be meek is to shun argument and to be gentle, docile, and teachable before the word. So when we read the word, we don't look for every way we can debate the word and say how the word is wrong because we don't agree with it. We read the word and in humility accept it and be changed by it, implanting it in our heart. But that's the other thing about humility. We implant it in our heart and not just our mind. And if I feel that in the Reformed world that the PCA and TRPC lives in, this is so hard for us. We love having the academic knowledge. And we love almost boasting about how smart we are as a denomination. That's missing the point of taking the word with meekness. We humbly look at the word and not looking at a text thinking, oh, I've been there, I've seen that, I've read that, I know all I know about that. No, we look at the word and in humility come before it and ask God to change us, to change us. Receive the word of God with meekness. Why? And look at the end of verse 21. It saves our souls. Isn't that interesting? End of verse 21. And it saves our souls. Is James now all of a sudden acting like that if we read the word of God, the more we read the word of God, that will save us, like it's a work? No, that's not what James is doing here. James is actually going back to verse 18. And he's tying the two together. In verse 18, it was the gospel of truth that will save us. And here he's saying the word of God, that's what saves us. It's the word of God, it's the gospel that shows us, that teaches us that we are sinners, that we need Jesus, and that we are only saved by God's grace. It's not creation all around us. It's none of that. It's the word of God. When we preach it, when we hear it, when we read it, that shares with us what we need to know concerning sin and our Savior. So in that sense, it's the word of God that saves us. Quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger. Get rid of that rampant wickedness. Get rid of that filthiness that's in us. Should I just close in prayer? Should we just do the benediction? No, because that alone is discouraging, isn't it? Okay, because we can go home. We can all say, okay, great. Quick to hear. Mother's Day, we'll listen to our wives or our moms talk, right? And that will last about 5 seconds within the meal, if that. No, this by itself, it's so frustrating. It's hard. It's almost impossible. In fact, it is impossible. We struggle with all these things, don't we? So if I just ended it here, that would just be moralism, in a sense. No. We look at this and we think, quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to become angry, get rid of the wickedness, get rid of the rampant wickedness, and we think, we can't do that, but then we go back to Jesus. Then we go back to Jesus and we remember two things about Jesus. That's why Jesus died. Because we can't just be quick to hear. We can't just be slow to speak and slow to be angry. And we are rampant with sin. We need Jesus. We can't save ourselves. We're not good enough. We need Jesus and we rejoice. Right? We rejoice in that gospel. That's the gospel. But then we don't just put a period there. We put a comma or semicolon. Whatever, Loanne. You tell me what it is later. But it's because of Jesus that we are now free to be quick to hear. It's because of Jesus we are now free to be slow to speak, to be slow to be angry, and to fight that rampant wickedness. Jesus freed us from the bondage of sin, from the terrors of the law. He freed us from that and is enabling us every day by God's grace to fight that sin. Only because of Jesus. We have victory in Christ. We don't have victory in ourselves. We have victory in Christ, which means we are victorious. We might have some points scored against us in our fight against sin. We might even lose sometimes. But overall, big picture, we are victorious because of Jesus. Take that now and go to Mother's Day brunch. Take that now and say, yes, we can listen. We can be slow to anger, though we all struggle with that. And we can fight the other rampant sins of our heart because of Jesus. We don't have to be discouraged. We don't have to feel hopeless or feel like it's impossible because we are victorious in Jesus. Remember that. Remember that. And brothers and sisters of Christ, as you remember that, be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger. But if you're here right now, do you know that victory? Do you know that feeling that we win in Jesus? Do you know that? And more importantly than that feeling, because that's kind of charismatic. But do you know Jesus? You will not have that victory. You will not have any victory apart from Christ. So if you are here and you don't know Jesus, repent. Repent of your sins and come to Him. Not only will you have victory, not only will you have forgiveness of sins, but you will be reconciled to the God who created all things forever and ever. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Thank you that the Bible is, that Christ, I should say, freed us from the bondage of sin on the cross. He saves us, He forgives us, but He frees us as well. So Father, help us as we go out and we fight our sin, as we go through what we call sanctification. Help us fight. Help us fight. Help us be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger. Help us get rid of the rampant wickedness that we have in our heart. And help us clothe ourselves with holiness and righteousness. And help us in humility implant your word in our heart every day. Help us do that because we love you. Because you saved us by your grace through faith in Jesus. We thank you and we pray this now to you in Jesus' name. Amen. As we come now to the communion, to the Lord's Supper, Lord's table, we come and we celebrate what Jesus has done. He died on the cross so that we can have forgiveness. Forgiveness in the eyes of God. And we celebrate. But as we come and we remember, and as we celebrate, we remember what He also did. Not just giving us forgiveness, not just giving us redemption, but by His victory on the cross, enabling us to fight our sin. Isn't that beautiful? Isn't that wonderful? So if you're here and you are in Christ,
You've repented of your sin and have trusted Jesus as your Lord and Savior. As you come and take this morning, remember, but know that He works through this. Through this sacrament, He works in our hearts and our minds, strengthening us in our fight against sin. He works through these elements, strengthening us in our faith. So remember that. But if you are here and you're not in Christ, do not take. This is a time for those who are in Christ. And if you are in Christ and you are here and you are in an unrepented sin, or you are unreconciled to your brother or sister in Christ, please do not take. Paul gives us warnings in 1 Corinthians 13 that we are to come in a worthy manner. That means in Christ and in Christ, reconciled to our brothers and our sisters in Christ. So if I could have the elders come down, please. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this time of worship where we can celebrate and remember what you've done on the cross for us. But thank you that this time is more than just a celebration, more than just a remembrance, that this is a time where you work, Father. And we ask now your blessing in this sacrament. We ask that you will nourish our soul, that you will encourage us, that you will strengthen us spiritually. We ask now your blessing in Jesus' name. Amen. That the Lord Jesus Christ, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. When he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples. And he then said this, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me."